Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, July 26, 2012. And that was Dancing Thanks from Peter Tichlar's Gracious Window CD. Peter's music can often soothe the soul or challenge a heart through thoughtful lyrics and engaging arrangements. He's with us in the studio today to talk about his music, including word on an upcoming CD. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening. How are you, Robert?
Great. Now, when did your interest in music start?
Probably from when, as long as I can remember. I grew up in a musical household, 10th of 11 children. My mother was a choir director. There's always some music around. Mendelssohn's Elijah, Handel's Messiah, all kinds of music like that, as well as singing in choirs as a kid. I grew up with the radio in the 60s, and the Beatles and Dylan and all those guys were all over the radio, and that just kind of grabbed me already at the age of 10. I probably knew when I was a teenager I wanted to write and play songs. So
now were Dylan and the Beatles, and that, were they some of your early influences?
Definitely. It's one of those moments of where were you when? And for me, where was I when I first heard Like a Rolling Stone? I was in the mid 60s. I was driving along in a big old station wagon in the back, and this incredible sound came out of the radio, and it kind of wrecked me for life, I guess.
Well, so who are some of your current influences then?
I've sort of stayed a lot with you know, the singer songwriters of like Dylan, Coburn. I love the stuff that Leonard Cohen's been doing live lately. I just really find that inspiring. As well, I have a neat thing going on with my son. I have three children. My middle son, who he's 23, going on 24. He's in a band himself in Guelph, a band called Little Men. And for about 4 or 5 years now, my son Andrew has on Father's Day given me a copy of the CD of the stuff that he's listening to. And through that, I've gotten into Radiohead, for example. He gave me the In Rainbow CD. And I found it very, very, very inspiring and very listenable. It's not a lot of the stuff that's out there that I'll give a repeated listening to, but that was one of them. This year's CD was the Bon Iver CD. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But
yeah, everybody was going at the Grammys.
Good Winter. Yeah. It's sort of a misspelling of the French Good Winter, Bon Iver. Yeah. Anyway, Justin Vernon's his name. I hear he's hooked up with Canada's own Kathleen Edwards recently. Romantic relationship, as well as he's producing a record. But yeah, I love that return to a sense of the melodic, a sense of something just grabbing you by the heart melodically. That's been an influence recently.
So when you're looking at these influences and that, and going back to your youth, when did you actually start writing your own stuff?
I was probably writing all through my teens and 20s, but a lot of the stuff was stuff that I didn't last, I don't think, because it, I don't know, partly because I was workshopping at it, but also I guess I was under the influence in those days, and it took a while for the Lord to get a hold of my life in a way where I let go of those influences, and like it says in Ephesians, don't be drunk with wine, or any other kind of thing, really, for that matter, but be filled with the Spirit. And that there was a certain point, probably in my mid-20s, where I went through a crisis of a broken marriage, and found my way into a deeper relationship with God, where my writing started to stick. And from then on, I've been writing for several decades now. So.
Yeah. And now, in terms of writing for several decades, and that, in terms of your recording, you did a recording early on, and then it took you about another decade or so before you actually sat down and went back in the studio?
Yeah, I made a record called Wings Meeting Wind back in '94. It was released. I had young children at the time, and it seemed quite clear to me that if I really wanted to push for the music career, that would be the expense of my at the expense of my family, to tour and everything when my kids were 3, 5, and 7, whatever they were at the time. It was just a non-starter, so I guess I made the sacrifice of, you know, while I still had the youth and the energy to go do the touring and the road thing, I said, no, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But I continued to write, and you know, a bunch of songs built up through the later 90s and into 2000. And it wasn't until 2010 I released, so it was a full 16 years. So
yeah,
I guess that's one of the challenges I face as a kind of a mature writer at this point who hasn't toured much. I frankly don't like, you know, playing in bars all that much and doing that whole thing, but I've continued to feel like I have a calling in my life to write and try to impact the culture, or just be who I am and have the Spirit use what I do to impact the culture in some way.
Well, that whole aspect of songwriting and that creative process is something that fascinates me. And are you the type of writer that it's the lyrics that come first, or the music comes first, or it just depends on the song itself? How does it work for you?
For the most part, it's melody driven, and this is why I commented earlier about Bon Iver and like my early influences with the Beatles, say, or even like Paul Simon. There was a sense of melody, and I feel like I continue to do this, where I think in pictures and I think in melodies more than lyrics. And the lyrics tend to come once there's something of a structure of a verse, chorus, bridge type of structure to the song, and then I know what kind of lyrics that. Usually that comes to me after. So
now, in terms of the song, in terms of the melody itself, is that, do you get like whole songs downloaded at once, or is it little snippets here and there, and it's cobbling everything together as you work through that whole process?
It's a lot of both, I would say. I find like the title track on the ukulele CD I'm working on right now, it's called More Like Lightning. There's so much of that CD, so much of that song that came to me within a 10-minute download. There
like
it
a
was.
Flash of lightning?
More like lightning. And even the lyric was like that, like it was a sudden flash sort of thing. But in laying that thing down in the studio, it went through a number of changes. And then the lyrics took they were fairly quick, too, by my standards, maybe 2-3 weeks as opposed to months, sometimes years. A song will sit there without a full set of lyrics to them. And so, yeah, so it's both. It's both and to that question.
You mentioned ukulele, and you play a variety of stringed instruments. There's guitar, mandolin, ukulele, and even something called a hammertone, which is a absolutely fascinating instrument. I've heard you play it. Is there any one of those that you prefer is a preference for you?
Lately it's been the rest of my instruments are sulking because I hardly pick them up because I have this ukulele obsession. Lately it's been the ukulele, and I don't even own my own ukulele. These are borrowed from my wife, who's a music teacher. There's two ukes on there. And the thing about the ukulele is, like the mandolin, which I've written a bunch of things for mandolin, I hope to include on a next project, is the portability of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you sling it on your back, and there it is. But not only that, there's something that I've come to really love about. I put it in terms of a Shaker song that I learned in a choir I sing in. The song's called "Love Is Little, Love Is Low, Love Will Make My Spirit Grow," and there's something about little, about small, about including the sound and the presentation of what you do. Like for me, a lot of the worship music that's out there even has become kind of old and tired to me because of the hugeness of the sound, like that full band on the stage, and you don't hear the vocals come through. And it's maybe one of the things that's intrigued me about Bon Iver these days is this. He's got this high falsetto-y sort of voice, and it's very spare arrangements. You know, the band does kick in once in a while, but there's something about that's personified for me musically or instrumentally with the uke, the mandolin, the hammer tone. I should explain what a hammer tone is.
Yeah, explain a hammer tone. Yeah, please.
The hammer tone is an instrument. It's actually an electric instrument. It's got tele pickups in it. And it's a 12-string instrument, and it's like another name for it is an octave 12-string. So it's like if you can imagine a Rickenbacker with a capo on the Rickenbacker 12-string with a capo on the 12th fret. All the notes are very high, so it has this high, chimey type of sound to it. You've heard me play.
Yeah, I've heard you play it.
And it's on my Gracious Window record. It's a song there called. In the Momentum that features the hammer tone, but it's also on my uke record. It's a really great vibey type of instrument for getting sort of unique pads and stuff. So, made in Hamilton, by the way, which is where its name comes from. Hammer is a nickname for Hamilton.
The thing you're talking about, the ukulele, there does tend to be a revival with ukulele right now. There's a lot of ukulele artists out there. I keep going to Jake Shimbakuru.
Yes.
And he's got a version of "While My Guitar Gently Weeps"
it's incredible. Isn't it? Grab your heart. Then.
And that. So there's a revival, and also the musicality of it's bringing the ukulele back in as being a legitimate instrument and not just the thing the kids learn in school and doing the "My Dog Has Fleas" with the tuning. So what I want to do is, speaking of that, you brought your ukulele in, and instead of our usual music break where I play a selection from a CD, you brought in your ukulele, and you're going to play the title track from your new CD, we'll listen to that. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
This is called "More Like Lightning." From the sacred harps among the exiles come sounds of a rising hope, where once they were feeling so all alone on the dark side of the road. From east to west the thunder is drumming, a voice rolling on and on, and And the dreams that come are more like lightning than a slow unfolding dawn, falling from a deeper sky than any we've ever flown. A flow of joy more deep and wide than any we've yet been shown. And with the harps of the redeemed resounding, awakening the dawn, the dreams of flying come more like lightning the more you travel on. Falling down like rain, guided by a secret that undoes each bruising chain, so we can be in grace each day to face just what the lightning showed, lighting up the dark side of the road. So now we take the time to make the climb on the newly ancient way. And the secret light comes more like lightning, more and more each day. It's falling from a deeper sky than any we've ever flown. A flow of joy more deep and wide than any we've yet been shown. Between the harps ringing out among the exiles and the thunder drumming on, the dreams that come are more like lightning than a slow unfolding dawn. Awakening the dawn, and the secret light comes more like lightning the more you travel on. Oh yeah, the dreams of flying come more like lightning, awakening the dawn.
I feel like clapping now.
Live at FM.
Live at Faith FM. Well, welcome back to Arts Connection. That was Peter Tiglar live in the studio with a song from his upcoming CD. In fact, it was a title track. What was the title of that again?
More Like Lightning.
More Like Lightning. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Peter. Looking at that, it's been a couple of years since you released your last CD, Gracious Windows. What prompted you to get back into the studio?
Well, the ukulele was part of it. Also a relationship with a friend who was the engineer on my Gracious Window, singular.
Sorry.
It's okay. just to know for what people know what to ask for or Google.
Yeah.
Okay. A friend named Trevor Titian, who's the engineer on my that record, but he's also he's co-producing this record with me, and we've been really just taking our time with it and weaving in a lot of time together, both praying, prayer walking, prayer driving, just getting really immersed and soaked in the city of Hamilton, which is where we both live. And and also, yeah, the just songs just wanted to be born. I mean, they were there. I wrote them over the last 2 years, and starting last fall and right up until now, we're just putting finishing touches on it, hope to mix and have it ready for Labor Day. So, yeah, the songs, they wanted to be born. So Trevor's kind of the midwife, and we've had a lot of great great musicians coming alongside. As you mentioned, this ukulele renaissance, there's someone, a Canadian, who's a real national treasure from Nova Scotia. His name's James Hill.
Yeah.
And James is playing on my record. I have
Wow.
It's a really nice, a real blessing, real open door to have him come. And recently his wife, who plays cello, or his fiance, actually, Ann Janelle, she plays cello, and she also plays a cello banjo, plays viola, added some cool string things. So And I've got an accordion player from Hamilton, and my son plays bass. My son, who I referred to earlier, plays bass and a bit of acoustic guitar on the record. So, yeah, it's been a great project.
Well, looking at it, it was 16 years since you did your first CD to Gracious Window. I'm sure there was a learning curve in there, but was there anything that you learned from doing Gracious Window to what you're doing now that sort of helped you as you started putting the new CD together?
Well, part of it is what I was talking about earlier about the smallness of the uke. There's a smallness to the sound. I mean, there's some of the tracks, the one you opened with, Dancing Thanks, is a big rocker. And, of course, yep. I love to rock, you know. I learned that for this set of songs, I wanted to keep it kind of a rootsy front porch sort of feel. So and that's what Trevor and I have been going for, and just some of the performances we have just really have that. There's actually spoons on one track, and just the instrumentation of it, accordion. We've used I have an old J45 Gibson. We've actually used it as the bass instrument. Just kind of tweaked it, playing it through a vintage amp, and just using the low notes as mm-hmm. the bass notes. And it really works well with James Hill plays some Sly Dobro tracks in there, and I'm doing a lot of the rhythm tracks, and we used an accordion for both leads, but mostly pads. So that's what I kind of learned, was I kind of knew a little better the sound I was going mm-hmm. for than I did when I started into Gracious Window. And there was a lot of trips and falls and misses and stuff. But it's still a great record, Gracious Window is. But this is a kind of a step into a more focused direction. I sort of know the sound. I know the lyrics. I'm probably more confident as a writer and a singer. Mm-hmm. I've been having a great time just... my relationship with the mic vocally in the studio, just can't wait to get it out there.
Yeah, well, other than the instrumental theme, like the using the ukulele as a predominant instrument, was there anything, was there a theme that came through lyrically in terms of how the CD's coming together?
Yeah, there is. And I was just talking with a friend the other day over lunch, guy from Imago, John Franklin.
I talked to John Franklin.
Yeah, he's great, a great guy, and he's kind of come alongside in the later stages of this project, and has asked me the same question. And I can see that there's something on the next project I want to do. So working backwards, you know, starting with this project, working backwards into the one I'm working on now, I have a setting of a poem by George MacDonald called "Better Things," mm-hmm. and. I hope that I envision that being the title track of my next record. And really, it's rooted in a scripture verse that talks about eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard the things that God has in store for those who love Him. And I think as an artist, there's a calling or a mandate I feel on my life to just to keep a focus on those things that we haven't seen. You know, in our culture, we think we're always going after something, and sometimes we're satisfied with where we are and what we have, but there's just so much more out there. So that's probably a theme. And even in that song I sang, there's a line that says, it's falling from a deeper sky than any we've ever flown. It's a flow of joy more deep and wide than any we've yet been shown. So I guess in even the sound I'm going after, as well as lyrically, there's a sense of that I'm never going to capture it all in a song. And it really is like flashes of lightning where you suddenly see the love of God, or you just sense the delight God has in each of us as one of his image bearers. That is just beyond words, really, but still there's a impetus there, a desire to just push into those things that we've never seen or heard yet, but there are out there. That's sort of that's a big picture yeah. theme of the whole thing, so...
Cool. Well, what I need to do is I need to take I'm not going to take a break because I'm running quickly out of time. Looking at just as we finish up just wondering, are there any other projects that you're working on? You mentioned this, the CD that you're already looking towards your next CD. Any thoughts on when that one's going to when you're going to do that work on that one at all?
Or? I really don't know the timing, but I just know that I really want to follow the Lord's leading on it, and just when He releases me, because I don't want to push when the timing isn't right. So, mm-hmm. but I, you know, one of the benefits of having had all these years go by between CDs is that I've been writing all that time. I've got three more records, or two anyway, And I'm confident in what the Lord's been downloading on me to have another couple or three records come up. So
great.
Yeah, that's what I have in mind. Do I have time for a Thomas Merton quote?
Sure.
Okay. I just picked this book up in Guelph at a used bookstore. It's an original edition of the Secular Journal of Thomas Merton. And he says this, therefore, looking at a picture demands penetration, understanding, meditation. If people looked at good pictures more, they would learn more about meditation. And if they meditated more, they would learn more about looking at pictures. I feel the same about music and songwriting. There's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, I think it's, you can take it or leave it. It'll blow away like the chaff, some of it. But there is a lot of great stuff out there. But I think we have an attention deficit in our culture to really look at it in the way that Merton's talking about, in a penetrating, meditative type of way. So just encourage your listeners to nurture a life of prayer and stillness as part of looking at pictures in that way, or looking at art that way. I know you call your program The Arts Connection. I think this is a vital thing that we as Christians and as artists need to do, is to learn stillness, learn meditation as a way of penetrating and focusing on those things we haven't seen yet and haven't heard, but that God has in store for those who love Him.
Wow. Just one final thing. If people are looking forward to getting more information on you, where can they do it?
Well, maybe you can put a link on your site if you have petertiglar.com. Helps you learn to spell my name.
Yeah, you might want to give us that just quickly.
P-E-T-E-R, Tiglar, T-I-G-C-H-E-L-A-A-R.com.
Great.
I have a website there. There's some video shots of me walking through the woods where I wrote some of these songs. And audio isn't that great, but there gives you an idea of the vibe.
That's right. Well, Pete, thanks very much. Peter, thank you very much for your time today.
Okay. God bless you, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Peter Tiglar. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.